Ryan was confused by what he was hearing. He could tell that they were in a high vaulted hallway, yet there was none of the echo that you might expect.
Are there heavy drapes around the ceiling? Something's muffling the noise.
No, nothing, lover.
Is that a question?
No, just telling Ryan what a chore housework must be in this place.
Oh, dear madam, I must tell you what I tell all of the ladies. Here's the good news about housework, the gospel according to Norman. Don't bother dusting, and after 3 years, the dust stops getting any thicker. Well, here we are.
The food was only a little better than adequate. The vegetables were considerably overcooked, leaving them limp and soggy. By contrast, the meat was served almost raw, the chill of the abattoir barely removed. Ryan struggled to cut through a piece of what Christy assured him was lamb. It came with bullet-hard roast potatoes, watery cabbage, and mushy peas, and a delicious and delicate mint jelly.
What's the sex side of this ville look like?
Not many servants. Most of them are bringing in the food and stuff like that, looking as if they've been at the loco weed, or been doped up on Jolt for the last 2 years.
Weapons?
Apart from some blunt knives and forks, not a lot. Haven't seen a blaster in the place yet. None on the servants. Actually, the cutlery is kind of ornate. It's silver, patterned with an acanthus pattern on the handles and engraved on the blades.
Rather old and rather fine, if I'm any judge. Possibly an English design. And the plates are certainly from England. Wonderful pre-dark quality, Royal Doulton. Look at the detail on the flower paintings.
Wish that I could, Doc.
Oh, my dear fellow, I do apologize. Thoughtless of me, in extremis.
You've got some fruit juice smeared on your chin, lover. Let me wipe it.
Christy leaned closer to Ryan.
We're being watched. Gallery around the hall at the second floor level. I think it's what they call a minstrel's balcony. Very shadowy up there.
Danger?
His hand dropped to find the comforting butt of the Sig Sauer.
I can't tell, I think. Jack, you got good vision in dark places. Take a look up in the black spaces between.
Eric Cornelius. Been watching about 8 minutes. Hasn't moved once.
Anyone else?
Jack glanced up again, looking all around the vaulted gallery.
Nobody. Haven't seen sign of anyone look like a sec man.
Ryan pondered what he'd learned. Servants that seemed like they were drugged, all except for the little butler Norman, surprisingly poor food for a baron's home, no members of the baronial family coming to greet their guests, except for the snow-headed Elric, who was lurking in the balcony, and no sec men. That was strangest of all. Over the years of his life in Deathlands, Ryan had to have visited hundreds of vills, and met most of the barons who ruled them. Though he scratched hard at his memory, he couldn't recall a single case where a baron managed without any members of a security force. Some barons ruled with terror, some with brutal power. Some were comparatively kind and decent toward the people of their domain. But not one could have slept easy in his bed at night without the sure and certain knowledge of the guns that defended him. It was a common fact that few barons in Deathlands lived out a natural lifespan. It was also well enough known that most were murdered by wives or mistresses. Next came sons or daughters, then brothers or sisters. You had to go pretty far down the list to find barons who'd been deposed and slaughtered by their own sect chiefs or men. He wondered how the Cornelius family kept its grip on the people of Brampton and the surrounding lands if they had no sect men. It didn't make sense.
Sect men must be out of sight, out of the way, lover.
They do not exist, Ryan Carter. We do not need them.
The answering voice came from high above Ryan's head, making him jump, confirming his suspicion that Elric Cornelius had to have preternaturally keen hearing to have caught his muttered words from way up in the gallery. Unless there was some cunning trick of the acoustics that carried sound around a building. Ryan had heard of such things. He stared blankly up.
A friend of mine used to say that a man who said he never needed help was already way beyond any help.
Elric was suddenly among them. He glanced around at the plates, most of which carried the piled detritus of the disappointing meal.
I see that the food we prepared was not much to your liking.
Long on quantity and perhaps a little short on quality.
If you stay a while with us, then you must instruct us on how to improve. Guests from the Outlands are rare here, and food such as this is not what we choose for our own pleasures. Not at all.
Ryan hesitated, wanting to ask the man what they ate for their own pleasure, but there was something about his being blind that held him back. Cornelius had already shown himself capable of anger, and without being able to see the man's face, Ryan felt himself unable to judge what his reaction might be.
Have you finished with the food?
Elric had moved around the room and came to a halt directly behind Ryan, increasing his discomfort.
We have. It's been a heavy day, especially for Ryan and me. I think we'd all like to get ourselves some rest now, if that's all right with you.
But of course. Norman will show you to the rooms that have been set aside for you. They all have running water and all facilities, and it will not be necessary for anyone to leave his or her room during the night.
You saying harm might come if we don't stay in our rooms? What kind of harm would that be?
You make it sound as though you worry that your lives might be threatened, John Dix. This is a large and rambling house, and we do not wish any of you to come to harm. That's all. Norman?
Norman appeared at the dining room door.
You may take over. And I wish you all a good night.
Ryan slept fitfully. The passing of the hours had become an enigma to him, and when he woke for the fifth or sixth time, he completely lost touch with how late or early it was. There had been a dream where he was in the ruins of a great metropolis, perhaps New York. It seemed a center for travel, and there were dozens of commercial transport wags filling with passengers. Ryan had known that he wanted to get to a Ville in the Shans, but he couldn't remember the name of it, and the destination boards on the fronts and sides of the wags were all blank. He had asked bustling men and women which was the right vehicle to catch for the Shans, but they'd all pushed by him, their faces averted, intent on their own business. Finally, he'd taken the nearest wag, but it had been empty, with shuttered doors and windows, and no way of communicating with the driver. He had awakened from that jolting darkness to the blackness of the bedroom that Norman had showed him and Christy.
Christy?
The space was empty. The sheets cold.
Why the blaster, lover?
Ryan replaced the heavy automatic under the pillow.
I woke up and you weren't there.
I went for a pee. Found it hard to sleep. Something about this place makes me uneasy, Ryan.
Yeah, I felt it too. Got locked into a classic anxiety dream about getting lost on a journey.
I was walking across a heather-covered land, and it got evening, and something was coming after me. Pretty ghosty. Goes with the look of this house.
Ryan had been sitting up, and he lay down again.
When you get a chance, pass the word to the others to stay on Orange. There's something I don't like about the family.
I only met one member so far.
Yeah, well, that's enough to go on. Just tell the others to be careful and not go around on their own.
Sure.
Breakfast was little better than the supper had been. Servants had knocked on every door at 7:30, just after dawn, waking everyone with the news that the food would be served in the dining hall in 30 minutes. The house was so large that there had been a room for each person on the second and third floors, opening off long, shadowy corridors. There was also a fourth floor, but JB's hasty recon the previous evening hadn't found a way up there.
I think there's also a cellar. Open the wrong door in a cellar here and you'd probably fall straight into the gorge.
Where is the family? Are we never to meet our hosts?
Time enough and time in plenty.
Norman appeared to be wearing precisely the same clothes he'd worn the night before. Indeed, the little man looked as though he'd never been to bed. Not even Elric Cornelius appeared to join them. The breakfast was a miserable experience. The room seemed even colder than the night before, and most of the shutters across the ornate stained glass windows were still closed, giving it a gloomy atmosphere. Runny eggs managed somehow to be blackened around the edges. Thick slices of fatback bacon had seen so little of the frying pan that sharp bristles were untouched. The bread was acceptable, but several of the pots of preserves had layers of green-white mold sitting comfortably on top of them, and the butter was rancid. Every one of the seven companions knew that a basic rule of survival in Deathlands was always to eat whatever you could, whenever you could. But it was a struggle. Johannes Ford seemed oblivious to the poor quality of the cooking, and ate as if he'd eaten nothing for a month, tucking into a triple helping of the thick chowder. The others had avoided that, put off by the greasy, phosphorescent scum that floated on top, and the leprous look of the chunks of meat that squatted here and there, like small, starving toads.
Good, Norman. Chicken or pork?
It's neither, Your Highness.
Then it's Gator.
No.
Cottonmouth?